produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. We're so happy that you've joined us again today for another broadcast of Gems for the Journey. And my name is Matthew Garrity, and my wife Stephanie is here.
Hello, God bless you.
And we're senior pastors of Lehigh Valley Worship Center, and also founders of River of Heaven Ministries. And you can connect with us if you've never connected with us before. Please connect with us at www.riveroftheaven.org. Again, that's www.riveroftheaven.org. And we just want to give a quick shout out to Kayla Padgett of FMW and Josie from JIRN. Good friends of ours, and we thank them for the opportunity to be with you today. And so, last time we talked on Gems for the Journey about the river of God, or the river of life. And it's a very exhaustive subject. It could take many days or weeks, or even perhaps months, to cover this understanding of the river of God, or the river of life. And so I just want to briefly talk about, last time we discussed that really there was three main places where the river of God, or the river of life, shows up in Scripture. And the first is Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, we find that there is a river, that God placed a garden named Eden, that He named Eden, which means pleasure. And out of that garden, out of Eden, flowed a river. And interestingly, the river broke into four headwaters. The first headwater, the name was Pishon. The second headwater, name was Gihon. The third headwater, name was Hiddekel, or the Greek word is Tigris. And the fourth river is Euphrates or Pirath, if you want to use the Hebrew word for that. And what's interesting about these four headwaters is the Hebrew meaning, these words actually mean something if you look them up and you study the Hebrew. And so Pishon means increase. Gihon or Giach means to burst forth or to break forth. Literally, it means breakthrough. It also means new life coming forth out of the womb. Hidekiel or Hidekal means rapid. It also is a word picture of something that's swift and darting. The word picture is this: if you picture an arrow in flight, an arrow going forth in flight always goes forth with a purpose. It's to strike its mark. It's to hit the mark where it's fired at. And so that word lends to this understanding in Hebrew that the word Hidekiel or Hidekal means purpose, swift and darting, something with purpose. And then Euphrates, or the Hebrew word Perath, means fruitfulness. It also can mean sweet and pleasant, something, the understanding of something being pleasant, like a piece of fruit is pleasant if it's sweet, a piece of fruit is plump, it's enjoyable. And so we talked about that this really is a mystery. It's powerful to get this understanding that wherever God placed a river, even from the beginning, there are four things that always flow out of it where God inhabited. Because remember, the Bible says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. And so there will always be increase that flows out of God's garden. There will always be breakthrough that flows out of God's garden. There will always be purpose that flows out of God's garden. And there will always be fruitfulness or something sweet or pleasant that will flow out of God's garden. And so we also looked at this understanding that, very interestingly, there wasn't just a garden in Eden. There wasn't just a garden that God placed in Eden, but he actually calls us his garden in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 and 10.
The Amplified Version says, "For we are God's fellow workers, his servants working together. You are God's cultivated field, his garden, his vineyard, God's building."
Amen. Thank you, honey. And so we see that, again, there was a river that has gone forth out of a garden in Eden, but also God says, we are his garden. And so we know that Scripture also says in John chapter 7, verse 38, that out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. And so there's an understanding that the river of God, that wherever God placed a garden, there was a river that went forth. Wherever God placed a place of his habitation, a river went forth. And so today, we're going to look at the second place in Scripture where this is true. And that's found in Ezekiel chapter 47, starting in verse 1. And in Ezekiel chapter 47, starting in verse 1.
"Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple found east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side."
Amen. And so we find here that not only was there a river in the Garden of Eden, not only does God say that we're his garden in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, but also in Ezekiel 47, we now find a temple. And so this is the prophet Ezekiel, and he is being led by an angel. We'll see in a little bit here, and he's named as the man in Scripture, in verse 3, when it says, "And when the man went out to the east with the measuring line." So we know when it speaks of the man went out with the line, or the angel of the Lord, it's not an angel of the Lord, it's the angel of the Lord. It's not a man, it's the man. and wherever this is talked about in this context in the Old Testament, really this is telling us that Christ himself, Jesus, showed up. Jesus was leading the prophet Ezekiel in the river of God. We find that there again is what? There is water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. So what's very interesting again about this is that out of Eden flowed a river. Out of God's garden flowed a river. Now out of God's temple also flows water. And we're going to see later that it becomes a river. And we also are referred to as the temple of the Lord, or the temple of the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19,
"Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?"
Amen. And so, as we continue with Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 3, it says, "And when the man went out to the east with the measuring line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. Then the water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a what? A river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?' Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river." Now I want to go back to Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. It says that there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Now in Scripture, whenever we study Scripture and there's something that talks about the east, something went east, this person went east, it always is an indication of a type of sin. It's a type of wandering. And we find that in Genesis, when we go back and we see that Cain killed his brother Abel, and it said that afterwards, Cain went to the Lord and said, you know, this punishment, God punished Cain and said, you know, I'm going to cause you to be a wanderer all the days of your life, and you're going to wander from place to place. And Cain said, this punishment is too great. And so the Lord said, no, I'm going to put a mark on you. And so whoever tries to destroy your life, basically, there'll be a death sentence for them. And so it said that Cain went out from that place and went east into the land of Nod. And so God judged Cain. He told him he was going to be a wanderer, and then he went out to the east. Other areas of Scripture that deal with the east deals with they went east from the place of God. They went east. They went east into Egypt. They went east into these other places. And because this understanding of east means this, it is as critical to understand that the water that flowed out of the temple of God went east. Let's continue with verse 7.
"When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many."
Amen. Thank you, honey. And so, again, this understanding of east. It went to the eastward region. It went to the eastern region. And it went into this sea. It said, when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. So what sea was this in Scripture? What sea was east? It is the Dead Sea. Amen? And we all know that the Dead Sea had no life in it. Matter of fact, the Dead Sea, many believe that the reason the Dead Sea has such a high salt and saline content in it is because long time ago when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah and burning sulfur rained down above from heaven and destroyed the cities, right around that would have made very strong deposits of sulfur, which would be uninhabitable as far as wildlife, as far as any kind of creatures living there. And so over time, the Dead Sea, whereas it's really good for like skin treatments and things like that, if you go in the water there, if you've ever been to Israel in that area, at the same token, those waters, nothing can live in those waters, because what happens is the Dead Sea, waters flow into the Dead Sea, but it does not have an outflow. It does not have an area to release those waters. And so what happens is the salt content actually will stay the same or increase over time, because the water will go in, it will not be able to flow out, and it will eventually evaporate, leaving the salt there. And the more salt you have compared to your ratio of salt to water, the higher the salt content's going to be. And so this is very important and very interesting, that the water in Ezekiel chapter 47, it's flowing out from the temple. And where is it flowing? It's flowing to an eastern region. It's flowing to a place, a type of sin. It's flowing to a place that's dead. It's flowing to a place where there's no life there. But yet, look what it says in Scripture, that in verse 9, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Amen. Wherever God's river goes, there will be life. Where God's river goes, it will bring healing. It will bring freedom. It will bring deliverance. It will bring his resurrection power to raise the dead. It will bring increase. It will bring purpose. It will bring breakthrough. It will bring fruitfulness. And so it goes on to say, in verse 10, it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. There will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be for the same types of kinds and as fish of the Great Sea, which speaks of the Mediterranean Sea, exceedingly many. And so we need to understand something else about the river of God. When the river of God flows, it flows out of you. It flows out of you as the garden of God. It flows out of you as the temple of God. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And as it flows, not only do people receive life, they receive the life of Christ. They sense purpose coming into their life. They sense fruitfulness. There's a release of increase. Not only that, but also there's healing. It comes into their life. There's deliverance. There's freedom. And what does it say here? That others who are standing around, other people who are fishing, other people, some may say evangelists, some may say people who are fishers of men, other ministers, other ministries, other folks that love the Lord, whereas they've seen death, they've seen dryness, they've seen that nothing can live here. Could anything really live here? There's nothing growing here. All of a sudden, what does it say? They start to see life coming forth. Why? Because somebody's let go of the river of God. Someone's allowed the river of God to flow through them. They open up their mouth and start to preach the word. They open up their mouth and started to prophesy the word of God. And so they see all this life. They see people. They see people that are likened to fish in Scripture. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men, to the ones that were fishermen. And so it says here that the fishermen will stand on the banks, evangelism will come forth. There will be a great catch of fish. Where there was death, there was life. And all of a sudden now, they're bringing in, they're discipling people into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And all this comes as what? The river of God flows forth. But if we don't open our mouth and preach, if we don't open our mouth and teach, if we don't open our mouth and prophesy, if we don't allow the kingdom of God to come through us, if we don't allow the river of God to come through us, if we don't allow the living water to flow out of us, there will be continually a dead, dry area where we hardly see any kind of life. Because the Bible says that this world is passing away, but the Spirit gives life. There is only one answer to the world's problems. There is only one answer to the death that sin brings to all people who were born into Adam. And the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is the new birth. The answer is new life. The answer is the Spirit of God. The answer is the river of God. Hallelujah. And so we understand that there is life. I just want to pray with you today. You're feeling like, wow, this really bears witness. I really feel in my heart that I'm dry, or I even feel dead. Or maybe you're listening today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never heard of the river of life. Maybe you've never heard of the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to invite you to receive Christ into your life. The Bible says that salvation is a free gift and we can't earn it. We don't deserve it. None of us can work for our salvation. But the Bible says this. The Word of God says, repent and believe, and you shall be saved. Repent and believe. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever believe in him, that's Jesus, would not perish, but would receive everlasting life. Hallelujah. And we're going to get to this the next time. In Revelation chapter 22, it talks of anyone can come and drink from the river of life. It's free of charge. It doesn't cost you anything. Amen. And so we pray that you made that decision today. We pray that you've turned, that you've repented from the life that you were living. You realize it was dead. You realize it was dry. You realize even around your life, man, it just seems like I'm in a dead sea. Nothing even lives around here. Everything just is so negative. And if you did that, then we believe that you are now all of a sudden in a new environment, that there is life, there is strength, there is hope. Get yourself to a Bible-believing church, amen, and continue to receive from the river. Because again, the river is in the garden of God. The garden is the people of God. And the Bible says, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst, God says. And where there's unity, I command the blessing, life forevermore. So praise God. We bless you today. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And I pray that if you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive him today, for he is the living water. There is a river of life that's flowing, and you can drink from that river free of charge. God bless you. Again, if you'd like to connect with us, we'd love to hear from you. Our website is www.riveroftheaven.org, and there's a donate portion of our website. And if you'd like to support, if you'd like to partner with us for a one-time gift or even become a monthly partner, we'd really appreciate that, helping us to reach the four corners, so to speak, of the earth with the gospel, to preach the gospel to every living creature. And if you want to do that, you can just partner with us there. Click on the donate button and follow the prompts. Another way you can connect with us or support our ministry that the Lord has birthed to reach the nations is by purchasing my first book called Holy Spirit, the Sevenfold Spirit of God. If you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, then grab that book. It's available anywhere books are sold. But the main places you can go is Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple iBooks, and we would love to get that resource into your hand. So God bless you. We look forward to being with you next time on Gems for the Journey. Until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you, and may he give you his peace. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
Sing holy. Sing holy. Sing holy.
Holy, 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 holy.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Greetings, precious saints. This is Pearline from God's Precious Pearls Ministry. I pray everyone is doing well as we continue to remain in the secret place of the Most High God, or Heavenly Father. What a safe place to be. I give thanks and honor to the Lord for our CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network USA World, Miss Kayla Padgett, and Josie from Josie's Inspirational Radio Network USA World. Thanks also to Ewing Moving and Storage for sponsoring this program. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to share the good news, releasing hope throughout the land during these uncertain times. Let's pause to pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the beautiful gifts of the fruits of the Spirit that you have so graciously bestowed upon us, so we can become imitators of our Lord Jesus Christ and live a life worthy unto you through our Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit to be led and taught by you. Please show us and help us to grow in maturity. Help us to be fruit bearers. Help us, please help us to guard our hearts against the deed of the flesh, that we may mature in you and all that you have purposed us to be. Father, I pray for my listeners that their hearts will be touched, and what you've shared with me, Lord, what you've given me to share with our listeners, they will be blessed and inspired and changed in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for myself. I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. I cover everything concerning me with the blood of Jesus. And Father, I just yield myself now that, Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable unto you, my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. You know, we have been talking about the fruits of the Spirit for some time now. This is so foundational for me. And, you know, when I studied this quite some time ago, it was life-changing. It actually changed me completely. And it took a total control of my life. And I pray that this has been a blessing to you as well. Because, you know, this really describes the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God tells us that we are to be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we strive to be like Jesus, these are the attributes that we need to follow and pattern our lives to be like him. To remind you, there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 to 23 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In previous broadcasts, we spoke of the fruits of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Today, we will talk about the fruit of meekness. I ask you to bear with me today as I share, because for the past few weeks, I've been having a bit of a cough. Many of you are grandparents. You know what it is to share the viruses with your grandchildren. And my little granddaughter was so kind to share her virus with Nana. So Nana is having a hard time getting rid of a little bit of a cough. And so just bear with me. My voice is a little bit groggy. It has been groggy for the past few weeks. So let's go back. We're talking about the fruit. Thank you. We're talking about the fruit of meekness, which is the 8th fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of meekness? This is showing patience and gentleness. This is showing in a gentle disposition. This is having someone showing patience and gentleness in a very calm and gentle disposition. This is a demonstration of a meek and humble spirit, forbearance, total dependence on God, total submission to him. The spirit of gentleness, meekness, and kindness are very similar. Gentleness is action, while meekness is a state of well-being, a calmness about the person. Having a calm, quiet, and sweet demeanor, always in control. Unbelievers are able to express gentleness, but because of their unregenerate hearts, it is only temporary or conditional. It does not take them long to revert to the works of the flesh, demonstrating pride and anger. Meekness is displayed when a person is able to control his mind, will, and emotion, which is the soulish realm. The soulish realm is subjected and under the control of the Holy Spirit. The thoughts of anger, pride, jealousy, competition, etc. are quickly diminished and not entertained with the person who operates in meekness. To be gentle is to be totally submitted and subjected to the leading and will of the Holy Spirit. The fear and love of the Lord is evidence. The fragrance of the Lord is evidence. Meekness is not weakness, but a controlled spirit, one that's under control of the Holy Spirit and governed by love. Example of one with a meek spirit. Moses was known to be a man of a humble spirit. Numbers 12 verse 3 tells us, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Even though he was brought up in Pharaoh's household with all the royal privileges, he did not consider himself to be as they were. He rejected those privileges to submit to God's call in his life, to return to his people, to set them free from Pharaoh's bondages. You see, this is part of the attributes of having a meek and gentle spirit. One think not of themselves alone, but is equipped to reach out to others. Mary was a meek, was of a meek and gentle spirit, and she too was an instrument for bearing or savior under difficult circumstances. It is very important to be submissive to the instructions and leading of the Holy Spirit for God's will to be accomplished in us and for us to be led in joy. Behold, this is what Mary said when she was approached by the angel Gabriel. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. She was very submissive, and she was humbled, and she was meek to the instructions given to her by the angel Gabriel. She was obedient to every instruction that was given to her. She visited her cousin Elizabeth, as she was instructed to do. A spirit of meekness is necessary in every area and stages of our lives, from childhood to adulthood, on the job, in our Christian community, literally in every area of our lives. We see the outcome of a lawless society, people operating in anger and frustration, not knowing love. We see also the outcome of people who did not submit to leadership and authority. Miriam was struck with leprosy when she criticized Moses and came against his authority. Gehazi was struck with leprosy when he defied Elijah's wishes in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 to 27. The importance of operating in meekness. Matthew 5:5 tells us, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the days of our Lord's anger. This is Zephaniah 2:3. Meekness is the opposite of pride. There is so much emphasis today on the importance of having a self-esteem. This is depending on oneself. We need the Holy Spirit to control our feelings and our emotions. Where there is an absence of meekness, we find not only pride, but fear, anxiety, and confusion, to name a few. There is disorder because one is depending on oneself instead of being led by the Spirit. With meekness, there is gentleness and calmness, and a controlled person who also controls the atmosphere. So there's peace and calmness in the atmosphere of the person who operates in meekness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. This is from James 1:21. Meekness is necessary for receiving God's words. As we humble ourselves, as we read God's word, and we humble ourselves to the leading and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, we will receive the revelation of the word. A person who does not have a humble spirit cannot receive God's word because there is conflict of interest, conflict within the soul, and also depending on oneself. Scripture says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. You see, when we share God's word and we share God's love, we cannot do that with a haughty spirit, with an angry spirit, and so forth. Meekness is necessary for effective witnessing. You know, like Moses, you know, when he went back to Pharaoh to deliver God's people, he had to humble himself under the mighty hand of God to follow instructions that the children of Israel would be delivered. And as we go out to minister to God's people, we should do so with meekness and with humbleness of heart. Our influence upon others depends not so much upon what we say as upon what we, you know, how what we are, or how we present ourselves, how we convey the message. With gentleness and meekness, you know, we see the depraved heart of the individual, and we want to win them to the Lord. We want them to enjoy the peace and calm and the beautiful fruits of the Spirit that we do enjoy. We are to share the gospel of salvation in love and with meekness. You know, many of us, we've seen many times, you know, ministry being done with a very, very haughty spirit. And this is so off-putting and sometimes very confusing to the recipient. And sometimes they have a hard time receiving because of the way the message is conveyed. So we have to pay attention to that. Be meek, be gentle, be calm as we present the message. One can preach till the cow comes home, the cows come home, but if not ministered with a meek and gentle spirit, instead of being sweet and compelling, our message can be met with resentment. Hence, we remember the scripture, by their fruits you shall know them. 1 Peter 3, 1 to 4 says, and actually verse 4, I'll focus on verse 4. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. There's nothing like a sweet and gentle spirit. It speaks much more than words and is very compelling. A spirit of weakness gives glory to God and draws others to Him. Remember, meekness is not weakness, but inner peace and strength, and also wisdom. To be an effective leader, one should operate in a meek and gentle spirit. If not, God will remove us, or our ministry will be fruitless because it is of the flesh. Jesus even reprimanded His disciples when the little children were brought to Him. In Matthew 11:28-29, the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." Hear what Jesus said. He said, "I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." He did not say in a control, in a demanding manner, in a boisterous manner, "I am God, do as I say, you must be subjected to me." No. He did not say, "I control you, I cover you. Without me, you're uncovered. Without me, you can't do nothing." No, he lovingly and gentle, with meekness and with kindness, invited us to come to him when we are heavy laden. He said, I am meek, and I will not allow you to feel worse, because I am meek and with a humble heart. I will stand with you in this trying situation. I will not reprimand you. I will cause you to find rest and peace and consolation in your soul. I will bring healing to your soul. I would not make your wound deeper and more painful. Just come. Give me your burdens. Give me your care, and I will carry them for you, and I will make you feel better. No, I won't preach to you. This is what we see so very often in ministry. And this is so very important for us to take note of. This is what we are called to do as ministers of reconciliation. Without this, we grieve the heart of God. I invite everyone listening to me as children of God and those who minister His word to think seriously about this, because I have personally witnessed and even experienced so many sad situations where the fruit of the Spirit was nowhere in operation. Even with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we dare say, "This is our doing," or "This is my ministry," etc. Where is the Holy Spirit in this? Where is the meekness and gentleness of heart? It is pretty obvious and evident, because the fruit of the Spirit bears a fragrance. And where the sweet Spirit of the Lord is, we will know it. And, you know, it's very compelling, as I said. I once witnessed a time of ministry where the broken person left more broken. There was no ministry. In one situation, an individual ran out of the meeting, vowing never to return. That surely grieved the heart of God. May the fruits of the Holy Spirit be evident in our lives and ministry. The opposite of meekness is pride. John the Baptist, even though, you know, he had so many people following him and he was baptizing people and he knew who he was, he was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, he submitted himself in meekness and gentleness of spirit when the Lord Jesus appeared. He submitted to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:30 said, you know, he says, John says, "He must increase." This is speaking about Jesus. Jesus must increase and he must decrease. He humbled himself to that. You know, and talk about humble. We think about Jesus himself, who was God, and he humbled himself with meekness to the death of the cross, so that we may be heirs of righteousness in him. God's instructions regarding meekness. When we correct someone, it should be with a spirit of love and meekness. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye should be spiritual, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will give them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. It takes a compassionate, understanding, and gentle spirit to minister to those who are hurting. When we humble ourselves with meekness and gentleness, we become familiar, we become acquainted with the ways of the individual we're ministering to or we're reaching out to, or to people around us in general. We discern the way that they're feeling, and we're able to communicate with them on their level and on their understanding and bring help and healing to them. It takes a compassionate, understanding, and gentle spirit to minister, as I said, to those who are hurting. If we go in with our own agendas, pride, opinion, etc., we will not minister effectively. We will miss it while hurting the hurting person even more. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Meet them right where they are and share with them the good news of God's love. Don't be haughty in our, we must not be haughty in our presentation. We must not speak up above them, but speak with them, to them, and share God's love with a humble and meek spirit, also with fear, knowing that we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not minister with a haughty and self-righteous spirit. This is toxic and turn others away. Be compassionate and sensitive. When we are meek and humble, we will exalt the Lord Jesus, and others are drawn to him. They will be drawn because they will not only see a meek and humble spirit, but they will also discern love, because love controls all of this. God's promise to the meek. Isaiah 55:12-14 says, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you with singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You know, this is the blessings. The Lord rains his blessings upon us when we walk in obedience, when we walk in love, when we walk in with a humbleness of heart, submitting ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, we will gather the harvest. We will walk in joy and peace no matter what goes on around us. We will enjoy the precious fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, everything will be so beautiful around us when we submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because when we submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit is in total control of our lives. He takes over. He becomes the driver. And he leads us and directs us. I'm telling you, I'm a witness to that. I have a testimony of God's love, and I'm totally rested in his love because I've had to walk through this. I've had to follow these steps, and I am a sure testimony of God's love and peace. And I strive daily to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. We will be fruitful and productive in every area of our lives. God's favor will go before us and behind us. His glory and his blessings and his peace will overshadow us. He said, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. We won't have thorns and thistles growing up around us, but you know, we will be fruitful and productive. Man was cursed in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned against God. God will lead us and guide us. The meek, he said, he will guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Psalm 25:9. We will prosper in every area of our lives. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm telling you. Oh, praise you, Jesus. God can trust us. When we submit ourselves in humbleness and meekness of heart, God can trust us. And you know why? We know that our hearts do not belong to us. I know for sure, I can tell you that. My heart does not belong to me, but my heart belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I give him my heart, he will be in total control and he will guide me through the fruits of his Spirit. Not me, not my will, but his be done. I'm sure we all want God to trust us. The meek person will experience God's contentment in all seasons of life, even in the storm. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Psalm 22:26. Let this be our prayer. Let our prayer be from Isaiah 55, verse 12 to 14. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains of the hill shall break forth before you with singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall be cut off. Let that be our prayer, that the blessings of the Lord will fall upon us when we submit ourselves to live by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite scripture is, in him I live, move, and have my being. I want to be totally led by the Holy Spirit, that I may walk, not just because I want to walk in his blessings, but that I will draw others to him, and that all precious Lord will be glorified. We will change the atmosphere all around us. Let that be your prayer. You know, my precious brothers and sisters through Radioland, I pray you are blessed by this. And I pray that as let's take time to study the fruits of the Spirit and to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be blessed. Until next time, my dear friends, I will conclude this message with the fruit of self-control. Be blessed. May the Lord be with you all. If you'd like to be in contact with me, you may contact me at GP Pearls, God's Precious Pearls, GP Pearls@ptd.net, or you may find me on Facebook, Pearline Friday on Facebook. May the Lord bless and keep you in his precious name. Until next time, God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.